Kif watched Zack calmly slip the vial into his pocket. He then pulled off his disposable gloves and shoved them in the pocket, too. "I'm aware this looks ridiculous," he said.
"Are you practicing for when you're finally a bona fide deputy?"
Zack had impressed her a lot when he had diplomatically manipulated the sheriff into figuring out who killed Riley Cochran a few weeks ago. But what was he doing now?
"Don't tell me you suspect Lacey Stillman was murdered."
Zack gave her a look like the one she used to get from her father when she interrupted him at work. "There isn't now and never will be an investigation into Lacey's death. I'm just curious about a few things." He glanced behind her at the door she hadn't quite closed. "We need to get out of here."
"No kidding."
She ventured into the hall and immediately locked eyes with one of the town's wildest gossips, Gertie Humphrey. Gertie stepped back from the bathroom she'd been about to enter. Her gray eyebrows rose high, then higher. Tiff stopped so abruptly, Zack bumped into her. Spinning around fast, she grabbed his face with both hands and kissed him. Zack's body and lips were as responsive as a block of concrete. And then he loosened up, warmed up. The pretend kiss turned into the real thing. Zack could curl a girl's toes. Interesting to know. Gently, she eased back until a quarter inch of air separated them.
"Is she still there?"
she whispered. "Gertie's gone. Does that mean you're not going to kiss me anymore?" She slapped his shoulder lightly.
"At least we gave her an excuse for the two of us being in Lacey's bedroom."
"Yes, fast thinking. Well done." Tiff narrowed her eyes.
"You better not be thinking you liked that, Zack Waller."
"You want me to think you're a bad kisser?"
"Get real."
He laughed and then placed his hand behind her elbow and guided her to the family room. "Want a drink?"
"Maybe. Let me check on Mom first."
Tiff scanned the room and found her mother at the far end of the buffet, alone, holding a plate containing a single slice of cornbread. She looked lost.
"I don't think she's comfortable here," Zack commented.
That was an understatement, and such a shame considering her mother was surrounded by people she'd known her entire life. How had her mother become the outsider? Was that what happened when you lost a son, a husband? Why hadn't the opposite happened? Why hadn't the community rallied around her instead of treating her like a leper? Tiff thought she knew the answer. There was a time limit on grief, and the amount of effort people were prepared to offer someone in mourning. Rosemary was about 14 years past that limit. Tiff herself was guilty of being impatient and frustrated with her mother. She was also hurt. Yes, her mother had lost a husband and a son, but she still had a daughter. Didn't that count? Zack followed Tiff as she made her way to her mother's side. A moment later, Sybil, dressed in black but with a pink scarf holding back her sandy-colored curls, came up to them with a cheerful smile.
"I hoped I would see you here, Rosemary. Isn't this weather dreary? When I die, I'd like it to be in the spring when the trees are budding."
Sybil removed the unwanted plate from Rosemary's hands and then gave her a hug. The relief on Tiff's mother's face was instant. After the hug, she kept one hand on Sybil's arm, as if she needed the contact to keep her balance. Relieved that her mother was being taken care of, Tiff decided she had time for a beer.
"Zack and I are heading to the kitchen for a drink. Can I get you guys anything?"
Both women shook their heads no. She and Zack wound their way through the crowd to the kitchen. Em Stillman was sitting at the kitchen table she'd presided over earlier. She'd kicked off her heels and loosened the belt of her dress. Her son Luke was sitting beside her, holding her hands, murmuring something. Zack grabbed two light beers and handed Tiff one. His gaze turned to Em, and Tiff saw his expression soften with compassion. Giving them space, he gestured for Tiff to follow, and they moved on to the living room.